looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Well, welcome everyone to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. If anyone needs direction or support in their life, today is that day. Like, sometimes we need more meaning, more validation in life, and more direction. And all of these things come together when they actually create your legacy. And originally to me, leaving a legacy always seemed like, wow, that's a big job, lots of work, and I don't think I want to take that on. I'm just going to do what I do. And worst of all, when I used to think of the word legacy, just until I've had my new epiphany here, I actually thought, what if I fail? What if I don't leave a good legacy or leave a legacy at all, and I'm a nobody and I never had any meaning? So to me, this was a really funny thing. I've always judged legacy on an external thing, and I don't know that I've really thought about this before, but after hearing the words and reading the words, actually both, of what Rabbi Daniel Cohen had to share, I have an entirely new comforting belief in not just legacies, like respecting others' legacies, but I kind of have a strength, like this feeling of ease with creating my own. And if that doesn't change your life around, I have to say, I don't know what would. So what will they say about you when you're gone is the rabbi's book. And again, I always didn't want to take on the responsibility of thinking, oh my gosh, now I have to worry about what others say and think about me when I'm gone. Oh, this is, now I'm getting all paranoid. So I realized that after looking at all these things that the rabbi shared, it's really not about what others think or anything. It's actually about my reflection, my delivery, my living with intention in my own life. So with a deep gratitude for, well, I have to say thanks to the rabbi for giving me yet another beautiful life project to do in creating my own legacy, I'd like to tell you a little bit more about him. He's a pretty interesting fellow, and we're going to learn more about him in the next hour, but let me just share with you, and then I'm going to bring him on. So as I mentioned, his name is Rabbi Daniel Cohen, and whether a mentor, guide, cheerleader, or motivator, Rabbi Daniel Cohen possesses a unique blend of authenticity, wisdom, and spiritual insight for contemporary society. His personal experience as a rabbi, sharing hundreds of life-affirming moments from birth to death, cultivating thousands of years of Jewish wisdom, and as a husband and father of, and I want everybody to hear this number, father of six daughters, combined with his humor, and you have to have that with him, and humanity, provided him with a compelling narrative and navigational guide of your life. Rabbi Cohen has served in the, oh goodness here, in the rabbinate. I'm going to say that right, rabbinate for over 20 years, and currently serves as a senior rabbi at Congregation Agatha. Oh, goodness. I'm so sorry, Rabbi.
That's okay. Agudah.
Oh, my goodness. Shalom in Stamford, Connecticut, the largest modern Orthodox synagogue in New England, and he speaks frequently on leading a life of legacy. He enjoys doing magic shows, playing sports, writing, searching for God, and living life with joy and ever-present smile. What will they say about you when you're gone? Creating a Life of Legacy is his newest book. And thank you for being so understanding on that. And welcome to the show, Rabbi.
Thank you very much for hosting me. I love your energy. It's great.
Well, thank you. I have to say that it might have sounded in the intro that I'm, you know, shy away from hard work and all these things, but really, like creating a legacy, that sounds like, you know, only some people in the world would do that. And it would be a big job, but we all do.
Yeah, that's really part of, I think you hit the nail on the head. We think about legacy in very broad terms, in terms of famous people. And at the end of the day, and this is really what it's all about, is realizing that each and every one of us is on this earth for a unique purpose and mission. And there's something unique that we can accomplish that's eternal every day. And the more that we're aware of that inner capacity that we have, potential, you know, to change even one person's life, mm-hmm. that is what a legacy is all about. As someone said many years ago, I may not be able to change the world, but if I can change the world of one person, I've really made a difference.
Yes, I'm making a difference. One of the things that I was listening to and reading is when you said it's how we show up and deliver in the world. And that delivery could be just picking up the phone and calling somebody to check in to see how they're doing.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think, you know, oftentimes we fail to realize, you know, it's those little things. You know, one of the ideas that I expressed behind the book, it's called What Will They Say About You When You're Gone? Really trying to help people identify what is their best self. And we can kind of come back to that a little bit. But then I share 7 principles for reverse engineering your life. How do you lead the life now for how you want to be remembered? And one of those principles, and relates to what you just spoke about, is called discovering your Elijah moment. And it's related to what I call the standing room only phenomenon at a funeral, where you're at a funeral and somebody's there. And if you could ask the deceased who that person is, they'd have no idea. Or anybody, they would wonder, why is that person there? But they're there because of one moment in time. That individual made a difference in that person's life. And that whole notion really comes from a story. Do you mind if I share the story with you?
Oh, I would love that. Yes, yes. It had a profound effect on me, so I'm looking forward to this.
Sounds good. So it's called the Elijah Moment, based after a story with a mystic. Many years ago, was approached by one of his students who said, I want to see Elijah the prophet. Elijah is somebody who we read about in the Bible, but also someone who kind of shows up to really help somebody in a time of need, give them that extra boost. And he said, I want to see Elijah the prophet. And the mystic said to him, if you want to see Elijah, go to the forest, spend the weekend with the widow who is there and her children, and you'll find Elijah the prophet. So he goes there Friday night, Saturday, no Elijah. Finally, Saturday night, there's still no Elijah, and he goes back to the mystic on Sunday morning and says, you promised me I would see Elijah the prophet. And the mystic says, do exactly what I told you before. Take food, and again, this Friday, go to the widow in the forest. So he does that, and he gets close to the house of the widow in the forest. He's within earshot, and he hears a young child crying out to the mother and saying, Mommy, where are we going to get food from for this weekend, for this Sabbath? And the mother turns to the child and says, just like Elijah came last week, Elijah is going to come again. And it was in that moment that he realizes that he is the Elijah that this woman is waiting for. And in many ways, some of the most, I would say, inspiring moments of our life are when we realize that we are the person who is in this place to share a little bit of our light with somebody else. And in that moment, that's the way we've really changed that person's life. And to me, when we lead our lives with that sense of awareness, that when I walk into a room, when I do get an email, when I pass somebody, I can really lift them up and be there for them in that moment, and I may not even see them ever again. That's really what leading a life of legacy is all about, and we can share that and really create an impact, even in just a few seconds.
Yeah, that is actually a beautiful way to look at it in a broader way of so many different, there's so many ways you can do something, and I love that you said about sharing the light. I mean, I love that word. That's what it's called, Light on Living. I really feel my light, and I think that's like I you can see it, but I feel it, and it makes me happy. So when I wake up and I feel it, when you are so happy with something, I think a lot of us will feel we just want to share it. And when we look at little kids, when they have something fun, they're like, oh, no, come let's play with this with me, or let's go do this, and they just want to share it, and because there's something about sharing an experience, and that's that when you talk about sharing that light, and then expanding, because I remember there's one thing you would said about, I always struggle with the get out of your comfort zone thing, but I'm becoming one with this now. I think there's a lot more to it when, you know, again, that hard work, but you mentioned how it's, when you get out of your comfort zone, it's just more about expanding and growth. It's not about the hard work, because it might be, but it's effortless if you have light shed on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. And sometimes, you know, I was talking with somebody about that today, and they said, wouldn't it be great if the world was perfect? I said, yes and no. I said, if it's not, I said, God creates the world imperfect for us to be his partners to make it a better place. And I said, at the end of the day, if we don't grow, if we don't struggle, if we don't move outside our comfort zone, we are not going to grow. It's like saying to somebody, you know, You know, you can become a marathoner and just don't do a thing. I mean, the truth is you got to push yourself or your muscles begin to atrophy. And the same thing is with our character and with our soul. If we don't exercise them and move outside our comfort zone, they also atrophy. And that's sometimes what life's challenges are all about. It's not, why is this happening to me, as much as how can I grow through this and become a better person and maybe find some light inside of me that I never felt that I had. And now I can really share that with somebody else and maybe be a light for somebody else as well.
There does. I love the light thing. I think the light is an I think it's an easier thing to for people to wrap their mental aspect, their minds around, to say, okay, wait, I'm not looking for a great purpose or this. I'm looking for a bit of a light. And I want to bring this up. You had mentioned, and I love the line, I'm not going to quote it properly, something about it can take, you know, say you build up your career and your reputation for 20 years, and then you do something maybe not so great, and in seconds, it is literally destroyed. Would you call that, in a weird way, stepping out of your comfort zone? Because that really is something that's now become imperfect, and you've got to kind of fix it.
Well, I would say it the other way around a little bit, because I think when somebody, let's say, does something which they're ultimately not proud of, you know, and they may, in many ways, do something that feels good but really isn't the right thing to do, I think they're just doing kind of what's comfortable for them, as opposed to, you know, the truth is, let's say, for example, somebody says something not nice about you, and your tendency is, I'm going to lash back out at them. I'm going to, you know, pull them down as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's really what you might say is the natural thing for us to do. The unnatural, or moving outside our comfort zone, is saying, you know what, I'm going to stay true to who I am. My responsibility is to be the best that I can. Somebody else will handle, you know, what happened to them or what they said, but I always have to take the high road. And sometimes it's not easy to do. You know, and life is about not just acting based on pressure, but doing it on principle, and not just from convenience, but in conviction. So that's, you know, that's really important.
That's interesting. I like that. It's a big moment for me. I'm like, wait a second, you're right. If we do something that's just so reactive, then that's comfortable. Yes. Okay. Oh, I want to put a star beside that as a highlighted point. and every day we have that opportunity. I have a heavy question that I'll wait till after the commercial because we have 5 minutes still. But I wanted to ask you, is there an age? Because you have six daughters, like six daughters.
I do, thank God.
And they give you lots of stuff to learn from. That's for sure. Good material. Did you notice a time where do we as people and babies growing up, is there an age where we kind of realize that we do have a life purpose, or you know what I mean? Is it always recognizable?
You are asking a great question. How much time do I got? Okay. Well, I'll tell you something. The sooner in life that we realize that we have a life purpose and mission, the more meaningful our life will be. The sooner we realize that. Somebody actually once said to a rabbi, he said, my child is 3 years old. When should I start educating my child? And the rabbi said, you've missed the best 3 years of your child's life. And what that really means is that even at a very young age, we may not be able to communicate to a little child intellectually, you know, this is what life is all about. But experientially, if we expose them to, you know, acts of kindness, to what joy is all about, to what purpose is all about, the more in tune they'll be with that. And I really credit even my parents as well. It's interesting. I say this, when I was growing up, I was a big Atlanta sports fan. That's where I grew up. But I didn't have pictures of sports heroes on my bed. I had a poster that said on top of my bed, if not now, when? If not now, when? Which is a way subtly my parents were telling me, you're here for a purpose. Don't waste time. Don't kill time. Don't just sit and binge and watch TV. It's okay to relax, but at the end of the day, everything has to be for a higher purpose, to grow, to learn, to share, to express gratitude. And that's really, to a certain degree, what this book is all about, is to help people be in tune, not with something that's outside of them, but I believe every human being is instilled with this honing device that wants meaning, that wants love, that wants significance. Yeah. The problem is that it's kind of drowned out by the rest of the world, and we need to be able to access that and to reveal that from inside of us. And the sooner that we do, and the more that we are in tune with that every day, the more our lives will be filled with meaning and purpose.
You know, I am so glad that sign over your bed is so perfect, because you boiled it down again, because you're right, you were a fan and it's a team, but it's not exactly, it's the message inside. And you had said also, or quote was quoting somebody else, say, no day should go to waste. No day should go to waste.
Yes.
And that's something I live by. And I also, one of the things that really, I was like, oh, I'm so excited to have you on the show, because you were talking about creating a life of urgency. And this is a really great, this one kind of, the word, right there, urgency, urgent, it's urgent. And when you send a message like that, sometimes you'll have to, you're texting somebody or emailing somebody, and it will ask you, would you like to send this message with urgency? And
yeah.
And it's almost like, well, you're thinking, yes, because everything I have to say is important. But it's of a timing nature. And there's seven principles in your book that you share, and we'll begin to start this, and then a commercial will show up. But I would love for you to share at least the title, and we'll get into it, the first principle of, because it talks about what you were just talking about, your first principle of the seven.
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to do that. You know, maybe we can spend a little time also on, what it means to identify your best self. I think that's important.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. See, exactly. And that will lead into, now I'm prepping everything. Now that leads into the big question that I have. But yes. So everybody, just to recap and just share with you as we go into commercial, that we will be sharing Dr. Rabbi Daniel Cohen's seven principles on how to literally create the legacy that you may not knew that you want to create, but you are creating, and how to do that and finding that highest self. So we'll scoot to commercial, and then when we come back, have those principles.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Well, thank you, everyone, again, for joining us here on Light on Living. I am with Rabbi Daniel Cohen, and he is the author of What Will They Say About You When You're Gone? Creating a Life of Legacy. And as we do, we're going to get through the seven-step process for reverse engineering your life. However, there is something that you mentioned there, Rabbi, that it's like, how do we identify our higher self? Is that what you were?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
As
yeah.
a matter of fact, because I think, part of the whole idea behind the trigger question is, what will they say about you when you're gone, is less about, it's an ego trip. Oh, what are they going to say about me?
Yep.
But rather more as a trigger for us to think about what really is important in our lives. And I was just at a funeral yesterday, and literally I was a guest there. The rabbi was talking about this outstanding individual who really was what we call a mensch, a person of character and a really family person. And he asked this question. He said, we all think about this. The premise of the book is you're at a funeral, and as you walk out of the funeral, you have a moment when you say to yourself, I hope they speak about me the way they spoke about that person. And in those moments, I think we all think about, you know what, I need to spend a little more time with my family. I need to do those things, not that I am forced to do, but things that really reflect my values and what I love. And then we're motivated, and generally we're motivated for about 15 minutes until we get distracted, we get a phone call, we got an email. And, you know, the question is, how do we live with that on a continual basis? And the truth is, these moments in our life when we get a rude awakening, when the terra firma underneath our feet is shaken, we all know kind of what's really important. I call it also a little bit the September 12th phenomenon. Nobody wants to repeat September 11th, but on September 12th, to a T, people realize what bound us as a country. We transcended partisan divides. We thought about, you know, what really am I investing my time in? Am I investing it in fleeting things or in values that are eternal? So what I try to do in the beginning of the book is give people an opportunity when they're not in a moment of crisis, not sitting in a hospital bed, God forbid, not at a funeral, but I try to help people identify when, thank God, we have our health. What is the kind of life that you want to lead? And I ask different questions such as, what are the five words that you want written on your tombstone?
That's five a big words. One.
It is a big one, but to me it helps crystallize what is most important to us. Or another question is, if you have 24 hours to live, what would you do and why?
Mm.
You know, and those questions, when we think about them and then we keep them, and here's the key, front and center every day, then it helps drive our decisions. And that's really, to a certain degree, what the challenge of life is, because we move so fast, we oftentimes, you know, it's like the pilot who says, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is we're making great time. The bad news is I have no idea where we're going.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, and the truth is most people in life are like that. It's like, oh, I did this, I did that, I did this. But I actually don't know what I'm doing.
That is such a good thought to, like, to think with you. And you know what's something you had said and something I read or heard from you as well. Well, and you had said, what is worth fighting for? Like, and I felt like investing in, and you're right. So if this, you know, the pilot is making great time and we don't know where we're going and we are doing things every day, this is where it comes in. We don't know why we're just sitting in front of the TV. We don't know why we're just sitting in front of social media. But what is the end goal? Like, why are we doing that? And I think that, so can you walk us through that exercise about the five words that would be on your tombstone and why that would be so important to somebody to help guide them?
Why would those be important, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I think because, you know, it really tries to distill that question, kind of the essence of what life is all about. And I'll give you a couple of examples. And by the way, I want you to think about what your five words are.
No, I am. No.
No pressure, of course. So I'll give you an example. I was doing a seminar related to this not too long ago, and a person said, my five words are father, friend, you know, husband. And then he said to me, he said, after he wrote the five words, he says, you know what? This was an awakening moment for me. He said, because I have a sister, and I didn't write down that I'm a brother. And I realized in that moment that I was not investing enough in my relationship with my sister.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a moment for him.
All right, everybody, we're just trying to get, you know what, every time I keep calling that number, it just they're having a little trouble picking up. So I've got some things I want to share. However, I want to just take this moment. If the rabbi is listening, I'm going to pass along this number he can call, which is, it's in Canada, so you have to do the one. It's 647 449-4569. Or you can just email me, Gal. Oops. Yeah. We're just merging back, and we've got the rabbi back. Yes, mysterious things happen. Who knows?
Well, they do. I was in the middle of talking about, five words, and somebody, also just another reflection, the words he wanted to be remembered by were, "He was always there for me," or something like that.
Oh, yes.
And you think about that, that really speaks to so much of, let's say, a person's life, that I want to always be present with people.
Yes. You know what's fun? When you were saying that and going through that, talking about forgetting, you know, in a weird way that he was a brother, but going back to that story,
yep.
And realizing that, you know, he actually took that moment to say, wait a second, why did I not remember that and think of it? And it's because I wasn't investing in it. And that was a big thing for me. I'm very picky and choosy about where I invest my time. That's why. And I think people are hard on me because I do prioritize my relationships and my values. And I want to ask you what you felt, because you get to see a lot of people at the end of their days as well, like what you were saying about not regrets, but what they think of each other, what regrets they might have had. When we are prioritizing relationships and values and where we're investing our time, I want to go back to that identifying your higher self.
Mm-hmm.
In getting that crystallized, and as you said, it's finding those out and getting those five words, what happens if we figure out the five words and we don't like them?
Well, it's interesting because I think there are two pieces related to something else. I mean, we may not like the way at this moment in our lives people think about us,
mm-hmm.
but hopefully we can identify words in which we would like to aspire to and live by.
Oh,
and that's
okay.
To me, there's an idea in Jewish thought, it's actually in the Bible, where Moses says at the very end of his life, and this is so important, he says, "See, I have given you today the choice between blessing and curse and life and death. Choose life." And the question is, why is he asking us to choose life? If you have a choice between life and death, of course you choose life. The answer is that sometimes we become so overwhelmed by our personal failures or challenges or difficulty mm-hmm. that we don't realize that today is a new day. And every day God is investing us with the possibility of picking ourselves up and really trying to move forward. And it's true, right now we may not like the way we perceive ourselves, we may not like what people are saying, but you know what? If God endowed me with a new day, with a new mm-hmm. breath of life, there's new potential to change, to become better, and to grow. And that's really one of the keys to leading a life of legacy. And the part of, to me, like the most important thing is, yes, think about it. You know, think about how your life now, you might say, is seen in light of the way that you want to be. And yeah, it may be a little bit tough to look at, but it's better to do that now as opposed to on one's deathbed when there's not a lot that you can do about it.
Right.
So this book is really that moment to, I would say, give yourself a spiritual alignment so that you are aligned with really who you want to be.
Yes, I love that. And just if you wouldn't mind, because I the story that you've shared before about a fellow just really at his end in one of the concentration camps. Do you know which story I'm talking about without giving it away?
Actually, I get a few like that. Remind me for a minute.
I don't want to ruin it, but he had decided that this was the end for him, but there was somebody who made a big difference and gave him something that allowed him to.
Oh, yeah. You want me to share that story? I will.
I would love that. It was really a big thing because I have a question that follows up with it.
Okay. Well, since you're such a special person, I'll tell you the story. Okay. But to me, you know, that story actually speaks to a number of the different principles in the book. And, you know, the story is about a fellow. And I only heard the story, actually, just to back up, at this fellow's funeral from his son. And his name was Sam Fogel. And Sam Fogel was a Holocaust survivor. And he came with really almost nothing to his name. And he first started out, and I'll get to the actual piece that you're speaking about in a moment, but this relates to it, where he literally didn't have much, and he found his way into a cloth factory, a tie factory in the middle of a midtown Manhattan. And he started to work there, and he slowly began to work his way up. And he was known for being a person who never even took an extra thread home. he was known for being one of the most honest individuals. And then when it came time for the owner of the factory to retire, he went to Sam and said, Sam, I'd love for you to buy the factory. He said, I have no money to my name. Well, as it turned out, because he was such an honest person, somebody from one of the local banks said, I will give you the money without any collateral whatsoever because I know you're such a good person, a person of such moral foundation. Well, as it turns out, he slowly built the factory, and then about a year or two later, somebody came in and said, Sam, I heard about you, that you're such an ethical person and a good person. I want you to start making some ties for me. Well, it turns out the person who came to Sam was none other than Ralph Lauren. And he was actually had left Bloomingdale's, and he wanted to start his own company. And as it turns out, the rest is history. Sam and Ralph became close friends, and Sam was the main manufacturer of the Ralph Lauren ties, so much so that when the factories went over to Europe, Ralph said, I'm keeping my ties in New York City because of Sam.
Oh, wow.
And that's the first part of it. But here's where it gets even more, I would say, inspiring. Sam Fogel was a person who raised a family, three sons, grandchildren, and always lived his life with a sense that he was living on borrowed time. He was a person who was generous in spirit, generous with his money, and generous with really giving back to his community. And his son was speaking at his funeral and said, I want to tell you why I believe my father always felt that he was living on borrowed time. It was because of one act of kindness that occurred to him when he was ready to give up hope in his life. And he said to us, and actually his son shared with me the written notes of his father, where his father literally describes the fact that he had been through five concentration camps. And at one moment in the darkness and despair of that hell, he was ready to give up his life. And he crawled towards the fence in the concentration camp, ready to throw it all away. Then he says, as he was getting close to the fence, he noticed there was a Nazi guard who was there. And he and the Nazi guard locked eyes. And the Nazi guard looked at him knowing that he was ready to give up his life. And they looked at each other. And then the Nazi guard looked to his right and looked to his left, saw that nobody was there. He put his hand in his bag, and he took out a sandwich and gave it to Sam at that moment. And Sam believed that was an act literally from God, that somehow this cruel Nazi found within him some little bit of light in the darkness of that hell to give him a restoration of faith in the future. He told Sam to go back to his bunk. And his son said, do you know how much that act of kindness reverberated for generations within Sam? He never would have thought that, but he literally felt that he was living on borrowed time, and in many ways it speaks to the reverberation of one act of kindness throughout generations. He was able to come to America. He got married. He raised three sons. Those sons got married. They had grandchildren. He supported communities. One act of kindness reverberates across history.
That is a story that are so many pieces to it that are so incredible. And when I heard that, I just like, I could sit there and think about that story for a while. And I want to highlight what you said there, that one act of faith can be what restores faith in the future. And in that, because I got one more minute for that commercial, I have to tell you something, Rabbi. This
yep.
morning, one of my fellow friends, colleagues, writers had written a lovely Mother's Day thing, and I shared it. But I chose one line of it that I, before even reading it and doing some stuff with your stuff, I just chose one line, and it was about how one act can affect seven generations. And I specifically posted that on my Facebook. And so when I heard that story, I thought, oh my goodness, this must be something that is very important to me. It's restoring my faith in the future, that every act and every day is a gift and counts and changes history and future. So when we come back right after these commercials, we're going to talk more with that, the rabbi.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The the best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg roll showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
All right, and we're ready to dive back in here with Rabbi Daniel Cohen, the author of What Will They Say About You When You're Gone? And this show is all about legacy, but it's actually about living the life now to create that legacy and with urgency and with intention. And I don't want to miss out on some of these fabulous principles. And if we wouldn't mind, because that was just such a powerful story and how we left off with really highlighting that one act, and the acts that are so kind have such, I think, that like the longevity kind of feel to it. But how do we even get there? How do we even come to the point, the first principle, let's say, that I'm going to let you announce it, the first principle to help us to even figure out what are we doing here?
Well, I think, again, you know, just to go back for a moment, you know,
yes.
And this relates a little bit to, I would say, discovering and revealing purpose. It's a great quote from Mark Twain. He said, the two most important days of your life are the day when you're born and the day when you understand why.
I love that.
The day when you're born, the day when you understand why. And I think one of the key, I would say, ingredients to getting on track with our lives is literally to realize that in any moment, in any place, in any time, we can bring heaven down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. That means that when you are right now, somebody may be listening to the show and they're in a drive-through right now,
mm-hmm.
and they're about to get a cup of coffee or lunch, it's not just a transaction. It's not just you're giving them your credit card and then you're getting food. Imagine if you say, how are you doing today? Have a mm-hmm. great day. Love your smile. I hope it's a wonderful day for you. We don't know what's going inside anybody's soul. And I think we have to realize that no encounter is random, nothing. If there's somebody who you meet in the street, if there's somebody who's in an elevator with you, if you get an email, if you're literally just walking along, those are moments that will never happen again in your life. And do something with them. Share something of yourself with that person. And that's really what the whole discovering the Elijah moment is all about, and to a certain degree, literally what life is all about. There's an idea in Jewish mysticism that says you can acquire a share in heaven in 1 hour.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I call it the hour. It's like Robert Schuller many years ago. The hour of power.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
You know, and you won't believe this, but actually in Jewish thought, we have increments of an hour, We have increments of a minute, of 60 seconds, and we actually have a name for increments of 3.5 seconds.
Oh.
There's a name for that, and we talk about that. And the reason why, what's 3.5 seconds? Well, I'll tell you what 3.5 seconds is. If you're in a room with somebody, and you could have 1,000 people in there, there still could be somebody there who's like a little bit lonely, not really feeling a sense of connection. You know how long it takes just to say hello to that person? How are you doing? How can I help you? In those 3 seconds, you can change the life. And you actually see that in the Bible. It's one of the best stories. There's a story in the Bible with Joseph when he's thrown into the dungeon. It's near the end of the book of Genesis. And he's sitting down there because he's accused actually of raping the boss's wife, which is not good. And that's, of course,
not what he did.
He's sitting there. She was actually trying to seduce him. That's a whole other story. But he's sitting there in the dungeon. And then in the corner of the dungeon, he sees the butler and the baker. And they're obviously in trouble as well. But rather than just sit in his own darkness, he says, "Why do you guys look so sad? What's bothering you?" And it's because of that one question that he ends up leaving, because then, of course, he interprets the dreams. And the rest of the chain of events of redemption, of light in that darkness, is all started because he didn't just sit there, but he said, "Why do you guys look so sad?"
That's the way,
if you think about it, like life is about, you know, you talk to two people who met each other. How'd you meet? Well, somebody decided to introduce me to them. Or like, and that's one of the keys, I would say, to realizing our mission. Don't just sit out there and meditate on it. Do it. Take action.
And you know what's neat is that regardless of how your act of, let's say, kindness or reaching out or whatever is received or not received on the other end, that's not the reason. So if we were to give somebody something because we felt they needed it or reached out and they didn't, you know, open up or they didn't take it or they gave it away, that's not the reflection of the act. The act was coming from light.
Yes, no, 100%. You know, and some of these things also that I think are important when you talk about the other principles, I have one called Living Inspired, and it also certainly dovetails with a lot of what we spoke about, which is, you know, really being grateful. Gratitude is so key to every moment, not just letting the time go by. Robert Gruden has a great book called Time and the Art of Living, and in there he says, ask yourself how you're going to remember this moment in the future. How are you going to remember this moment in the future? That question alone says, you know what, I need to do something memorable with this day. You know, I can't just, like, let it go. I've really got to, you know, try to seize the day. I want to be grateful for today. And that's so important. And there are many strategies to do that in terms of really thinking about, you know, every day as a gift and try to make it into somewhat of a masterpiece, do something special with today. And we all get caught. Go ahead.
Sorry, just talking about being memorable and that you actually share a story about your father and how he loved watching movies and he would always have you do a scale of ranking it from 1 to 5. And I absolutely love that because really that we're placing value, like we're finding out how memorable, how valuable, what did this add to my life or take away? And I think that's so cool that he did that. Why, did he always do that for every movie or kind of like, or just things in life?
No, he was very, and he is, thank God, he's a very thoughtful, introspective person. You know, he really believes it's important to think about what you're experiencing. So, you know, whether it was the movies or my father also is a doctor in English literature or anything, you know, he wanted us not just to, you know, go through the motions or watch something, but really, okay, what does this mean to you? What can you learn from it? And that's just a great, I would say, attitude towards life. You know, what I call an accounting. You know, and I say this too. I mean, everybody, you know, we're always checking our bank account and our finances and, oh, how'd the market do today? Imagine if we had the same devotion to detail and attention to our spiritual life as we do to our financial health and life. Our world would be so much more different.
Different's a good word. And that brings us to, I believe, that first principle, because I think everybody needs to start there. That's the big one.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, one thing also that's really important is what I call discovering your renewable energy. It's actually the last principle.
Oh, I love that one. Discovering your renewable
energy. You know, the truth is that every day we're infused with this new, again, whether it's light or sense of purpose, and realizing that every day is a new opportunity, and nothing tells us that we should be retiring. You know, we may retire from our jobs, but we don't retire from life. You know, I say, imagine if Moses was living today, he would have been sitting in Florida rather than taking the Jews out of Egypt.
Right.
I mean, he didn't start his career till he was 80 years old.
Yeah.
You know, we live in a world where we're always defined by what we do, but we forget who we are. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that, yeah, we may not be working in the same way that we did, but that doesn't mean we still don't have gifts. That doesn't mean mm-hmm. there's still opportunities for us to share wisdom, love, friendship, creativity with the world around us.
You know, that is, I'm going to ask a heavy question first near the end of our show, but I have to do this. I was blessed like you were, and I had terrific, my dad's still with us, but terrific parents. Like just, I really felt like as I heard stories about your parents that had very similar life and just very supportive and pointed out those things and were very reflective and generous and thoughtful. My question, it's a heavy one, is I've just so noticed, and you can feel this, that young children are, there's just at such a young age that they, I wondered if there's some guiding way to you could offer that those who are even to the point of they would like to leave this earth, they don't want to be here anymore, they don't know why they're here, they feel lost and disconnected, and would, you know, attempt suicide or thoughts of that way are just so disconnected. How do we help our children feel that, like recognize the light in themselves?
You're asking a really, really important question, really important question. And I think that there's no obviously one answer mm-hmm. to that question.
Right.
But I think one of the most important components is for people and children to feel that they're loved and that people are there for them and that there's hope. And, you know, sometimes we also live in a world, too, where oftentimes our children spend so much time putting into their souls and their head negativity, nonsense, despair. I mean, when you think about the amount of time that is spent on, you know, online and listening to stuff, it's really important. I mean, one thing that I try to do with my kids a lot, I should do it more, but I take walks with them.
Aww.
And I do that because they're not on their devices.
Mm-hmm.
We're
yeah.
just going outside. And I have found, and I would encourage parents and grandparents, make it a habit when you see your kids, say, we're going to go for a walk together. Where are we going? We don't need to go anywhere. We're just going for a walk. And sometimes I will find that if I'm just walking with them and just listening to nature, and I say, tell me what's going on in your life, you know, what's in your heart, what are you thinking about, how can I be supportive of you? They just begin to open up a little bit. And I think that really is one of the first steps, is to hear their inner voice. I mean, everybody has renewed purpose and some special light inside of them. But we as parents, as grandparents, as friends, have to create and help them the sacred space to listen. And it's not just enough to say to somebody, hey, God loves you, but you got to be there with them. You got to go mm-hmm. with them. You got to spend time with them and make them a priority. And I really just hope, and I pray a lot, I'm sure you do, that God gives people just the ability to see the light inside of them. We all have it. You know, one of the most, I would say, stories that I live with a lot, it actually relates a little bit to another book that I'm writing now. It's called Conversations with an Angel, The Secret mm-hmm. of the Light. And that's wow. about a story in mysticism that tells us that before a baby is born, there's an angel inside that shares with us the light, which is the secret of meaning and significance and joy in life. And then right before we're born, the angel places its finger right underneath the nose. That's why we all have this little indentation underneath our nose. And what happens is we forget the light, but it's not that the light is gone. The light is buried deep within. And then at the very end of our lives, we're also greeted by an angel. And we recognize that angel because that angel is the one that planted the light inside of us before we came into this world. And the angel asks us two questions. Did you reveal the light that I planted within you? And did you share it with the world? Did you reveal the light and did you share it with the world? And the more that we are cognizant of that inner light and sharing with the world and think about that question, the more that our lives will be filled with deep meaning, significance, and joy. And what I discovered actually a number of years ago when I met with a mystic is that there is a roadmap to discovering that light. And that's actually in the book of Psalms where King David uses the word light in about 8 or 10 mm-hmm. different cases. And each one is a touchstone to unlock that light in your life.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you see, it was hard for me to read that now.
Well, I didn't write it yet. I'm in the process of it right now.
Oh, even the book and the psalm, too. So not the
Yeah, the psalms are amazing. It's like an ancient work that really speaks to the light.
Do you know that I actually did touch the little divot under my nose when you said that? I was right. Like, you just had me.
You have it, Lisa. You have it. But you seem like you're revealing it and sharing it. I love it.
I do. Well, I'm just actually thinking how, well, if you have six daughters, you did a lot of walking. And I'm thinking.
I'm trying. The Sabbath helps. We do a lot of walking on the Sabbath, so it's good.
Yes. And you know what's funny? I had a memory, as you said, that was when we would visit my mother's parents, so my grandparents, and they lived out to a little bit more of a country setting, let's say, that's what we'd always do. We'd just go for a walk, and then, you know, it'd be a wonderful time to, my grandmother would point out, do you know what kind of grass this is? Or do you know what kind of bug that is? Because I would be running screaming because I hate bugs. But, you know, but you're right. And it was a grounding experience because you're, you know, well, didn't have cell phones when I was little, but yes, you're just away from all those other things. And I want to invite everybody to really learn about those principles. So where can they find you? And oh my goodness, these stories, these principles, this wonderful help. How can
they
get to you?
So the best thing to do is to go on my website. It's www.rabbidanielcohen.com, Rabbi Daniel Cohen, C-O-H-E-N, and you can find articles there. You can order the book and videos and other opportunities to connect as well. You can sign up for an email list, and we can stay in touch as well.
I think that would be fabulous for so many people to do. And thank you for taking on those what might be harder questions, because I think that's what you've shared really is, and I'm going to say use the word light and legacy seems to really go hand in hand. And so just a giant thank you for sharing this time with us today. And I really
thank
look
you.
Forward to having you back, especially when that second book is finished. When can we expect that?
Well, I'm trying my best to get it out in 2019. I'm working on it a lot this summer, but God willing, it'll work out well.
We'll give them plenty of time to get what will they say about you when you're gone first.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much, and we will hope to have you back soon. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. Bye, everyone. Bye-bye.